This is Tom.
This is Jake.
And this is Travis. And we are the Drunken Dork Podcast.
Tune in every week and listen to us discuss the finer points on superheroes, the latest pop culture news, as well as all of our favorite booze.
You can listen to us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or the Stitcher app for Android. And be sure to catch up on all of our episodes by visiting us over at www.drunkendorkpodcast.wordpress.com.
And remember, folks, you have one liver. Ruin it well.
Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. I also command that you keep listening to Adrian Has Issues.
Welcome to Adrian Has Issues. I'm Adrian, and today I'm having so much fun already talking to today's guest. I met her, well, actually, it's funny. I saw her at Special Edition, but didn't actually talk to her until my girlfriend and I met her at Eternal Con, which was out in Long Island. She's an artist, a really awesome artist, has worked on some really great books. Let's see, Fight Like a Girl, you probably heard of, Liquid City, Dim Sum Warriors, and you actually have a new project you're working on that you hinted at Eternal Con, but I don't know if you've made a full-fledged announcement yet, but hopefully we can get some information on that. But ladies and gentlemen, Sue Lee, everybody. Sue, how are you?
Hi there. Thank you for having me, Adrian, and it was really nice meeting you guys.
Likewise, and I'm so sorry that you had to go through my horrible pad thai story.
Oh, no. I'm worried about you and the pad thai, you know? So it's completely okay.
I think we should, like I said, I think we should be fine, and anybody knows the best way to quell any upset stomach is with copious amounts of beer.
I think so. Maybe, but I'm not a really big beer drinker.
All right, so what is your weapon of choice then, if anything?
I gotta say, I'd like margaritas or brown liquor.
Okay, so you and my girlfriend probably get along then, because she is like the margarita queen. I get to have that margarita that this is it, this is the drink. I guess for some reason I can never get past the salt thing.
Oh, I always say no salt. And I actually prefer my margaritas over ice and not as a slush.
Oh.
Very picky.
Now, does that break some sort of like margarita mandate? Like, is that against code or how does that work exactly?
I don't know, but I guess I'm just used to it because majority of the bars I go to, they only serve it that way. And I tell them specifically no salt. So it all works out.
I know some places, you know, like they'll actually just use regular table salt. But I know there's a particular salt. I guess it's more of like the larger grain like that. It almost looks like rock salt that would use to defrost like a driveway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you don't want to drink that. No.
No, I don't think that's what they're using. But it's funny because I'm that person who every so often when I will get a margarita and I'm out, I'm that person that's picking off the salt, and the bartender's looking at me like, what are you, some kind of idiot? I'm like, no, I just...
No, you have to ask specifically, no salt.
But I'm the person who goes to, like, McDonald's and says, like, no ice, and there's double ice, so...
They're just spiting you now.
Right? I just give up.
They're like, you don't like salt? Well, I'm going to pour some salt in your margarita.
Oh, my God. Oh, that? I just got nauseous again.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Okay, interview over.
All right, we'll see you next time, guys.
Okay, bye.
Oh, okay, totally kidding. We should probably come back. I'm like, wow, that was the shortest okay. show ever.
Yeah.
So one thing I always like to ask, and sometimes I usually wait till the end of the show to do it, but I figured this time, because we really didn't get a chance to talk much at Eternal Con, so I never really got a chance to really get to know you. So where does it all start for you? Like, what was the moment that you picked up a pen? It's like, drawing's the shit.
Well, huh. See, whenever someone asks me about myself, I draw a blank. What has the past few years of my life been like? I have no idea. No. You know, I've always enjoyed drawing or creating art.
Okay.
And I mean, I've dedicated majority of my life to comics and art because I went to a specialized art high school And then I also went to a private art high school. I mean, art college.
Oh, cool. So you've pretty much been like in it from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you flip-flop ideas of what you want to be when you grow up. You're like, oh, I guess I'm going to be a doctor, right? Because you want to make a lot of money. I didn't get into my college of choice the first time, and I got so depressed. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to be a mortician. And
then applied for... Holy shit, really?
Yeah, I was like super close to getting a meningitis shot because that's mandatory. And then I met a teacher. He's such a wonderful guy, Tom Hart. He kind of gave me a second chance. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm not going to play with dead bodies.
But that is a weird jump. I'm like, now, was the mortician thing, was that something you were always interested in? Or was it just one of those things that, like, you were just so upset? Like, I want to do the total opposite of the thing that I was going to.
Gothic. Yeah, right? No, I was always interested in, you know, science and forensics and autopsy technicians. I thought were super interesting.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not really squeamish. So I figured, hey, what's something that makes a lot of money and is a job that, you know, people need, right?
Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't think morticians or, like, for instance, I don't think they ever go out of business, because as screwed up as it is to say, people constantly
That's right.
are dying.
Business is a booming. That's a terrible joke. I'm sorry. But yeah, I was very close. And then I was like, no, never mind. I'm going to be a comic artist.
See, I would imagine, like, you know, your early works were kind of like the best of both worlds, or like, or kind of like CSI, but not quite like the TV version, but a slightly more, I guess, graphic version.
I mean, I would love to make comics like that, you know?
That would be really cool, because to tell you the truth, I don't think you get a lot of that. Because it usually goes like supernatural horror or like gore. But, you know, there's no one ever really does a comic about like a forensic pathologist or something like that.
Something super boring, right?
I don't think it would be boring at all. Like, I'd imagine it'd be like a slightly more hip version of Quincy.
I've never seen Quincy before.
I mean, by today's standards, it's probably terrible. But I watched a lot of TV as a kid. So I'm like, what do you mean you haven't seen Quincy? That show is amazing.
I do like the detective aspect, you know? And I'm really into paranormal shows and topics. So I would love to do like a X-Files kind of thing, but also in the vein of, what's that show? Oh, no. Is it Kojak?
What, the one Telly Savalas bald dude lollipop?
Yeah.
Yep, that's Kojak.
There we go.
The best signifiers, is he bald? Do you have a lollipop? Then it's always Kojak.
Is he bald? Yes.
That would be something really cool, though. Because I will say, though, as far as when it comes to storytelling, like, I'm so... Not that I'm necessarily a baby, but I've kind of realized I'm easily frightened. So anything dealing with the paranormal, like, and I'll sit there and watch this stuff, like, you know, like on ID or maybe some other channel where it's like, even like those dumb shows, like those Ghost Hunter shows where it's like them and like a GoPro and like someone trips over something and the next thing they're running out of the house screaming.
And you're like screaming with them.
Right. Cause I'm like, what if they saw something that they can't capture on camera?
That's the beauty of paranormal investigation. So I really would like to do something like that.
Very cool.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Kolchak.
Oh.
Not Kojak. Okay. Kolchak.
Okay, that's something completely different then. So wait, which one was Kolchak then?
Kolchak is the paranormal detective.
Okay, but he's not like Kojak. He's not like Telly Savalas with the lollipop and he's hunting ghosts.
No, I know who that is too, but yeah, he's like the ghost hunter version.
I don't think I've ever seen Kolchak. I feel like I've really let down my pop culture background.
No, don't worry about it.
Like, how long ago was this?
Catch up now. It was in the 70s? Mid to late? So, oh my god, people are going to listen and just, like, beat me up. I'm also a terrible pop culture trivia expert.
That's okay. Well, I did nothing but stare at a TV screen for most of my childhood, and it's been okay. Okay, I just actually Googled it now because it's always fun to Google things right on your own podcast.
Absolutely.
So, Kolchak the Night Stalker. Why don't I know what it is because it's probably supernatural. We probably wouldn't have watched a lot of this in our house growing up.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily the most religiously inclined person, but I know, you know, growing up, like my mom said to my grandmother, there were certain things like, I mean, like not Hellraiser. Well, that one too, but like Exorcist. Yeah, didn't play much.
I I totally understand. My mom was like a complete liberal, so we watched the most awful things together. So that's how I grew up.
As long as things dealing with, you know, supernatural, maybe occasionally like demonic possession, that stuff was weird. But like as a child, they were totally okay with me like watching like every 80s action movie. Like I could watch a guy, you know, get gunned down to the point like in RoboCop where his limbs are falling off. But as long as, you know, there's no devil in it, it was okay.
Oh my gosh.
Back in those days, there weren't really much in the way of babysitters. When my dad went to the movies, we just went with them. And it's like, well, there's no one really to stay and watch. Unless it was something that was so out of the way that, you know, we couldn't watch it at all. But my dad went to go see Die Hard. Sure, I'll go with him. Like, I don't know. Why is this guy jumping off of this building? Why is he barefoot? What's going on?
Right. You're too young to even process what's happening. I mean, I watched Ichi the Killer with my mom when I was, like, a kid. And that movie is
wow.
Yeah, no, I have a very liberal family.
So if you don't mind me asking, like, how old were you at this time, though? Because I didn't watch that until much later, and even I was kind of, like, shielding my eyes at times.
I was, like, well, here's the thing. When I was really young, you know, in my neighborhood, I live in, you know, Queens, New York.
Okay.
And growing up here, there's a lot of Asian neighborhoods, and we had a lot of Asian video rental stores. And it's, like, a very specific culture, you know? You go in there, you know the people, you have a number, you know, and you rent a DVD. I mean, I'm sorry, not a VHS, right? And then we would just, like, rent a whole bunch of, like, a month's worth of videos. And then we would just, like, pick the most action-packed things. And so I must have been, like, I want to say, like, around 10. Like, I don't even know how old I am now. It's like, I want to say I was, like, 10 or something like that. You know, I don't know. I might be making it up. I have no idea.
That's kind of the age where you're a little bit more aware of that sort of thing. So it's not right. Like you're like a baby watching Ichi the Killer. So I'm like, at this point, you're like, yeah. All right, I kind of know
more
what's
like
going
old
on.
Old boy, you know?
Oh, my God. That movie.
When that came out, Korean people were like, yes.
Now, when did that come out? Because I didn't watch that until like I just graduated high school. So that was, let's say, 2004?
Super early 2000s. Yeah, very early 2000s.
That was a movie my best friend at a music store. And the guys that he worked with, the one is particularly, he was very big into, you know, horror movies and cult movies and especially anything that the more obscure, the better. So, of course, people have been talking about this old boy. It's like, all right, fine, we'll rent it. So we're watching it and I know a lot of people had watched it and got repulsed. I wasn't repulsed, but it was just like, I just couldn't look away because up until this point, I had never seen a movie that was like this, and I've never seen anything like it since.
Really? You don't think so?
It was.
Oh, I'm going to have to expose you to a lot more.
Yeah, because I'm not going to lie. I'm very, like, unfortunately, you know, I grew up, like, most people who grew up in the 70s, you know, my parents then was like, all right, you know, we'll watch martial arts movies, but in terms of, like, other cinema, especially, like, a lot of thrillers and other things, I'm very lacking in. So if there's any recommendations you have, please absolutely throw them my way because I'm always looking for new things to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I have a whole bunch. I specifically love Asian movies a lot because they don't conform to a lot of what American
absolutely not
storytelling is like, you know, and it's even weirder the better, you know?
Yeah, like there were a few that I watched. Like I know there was what was the one that was pretty fun? A monster movie, The Host. That was fun.
Oh, the one with the Kraken like thing.
Yeah.
You know, my mom loved it and I hated it.
Really? So what was your beef with the Host?
I thought it was really like cheesy.
I thought that was kind of the point. Like I don't know.
Was it?
I just say that because that's my defense for it because I don't know if it was ever that. I will say, though, the ending of that movie just ruined me because it was another one of those things that one thing I do love about any foreign cinema is they do not give a crap. Like, if a story is going to have a down ending, it's going to be that. Like, if this, like, you know, kid that you've been rooting for this entire time is going to get killed, they will do that. They won't shy away from that kind of thing. And then at the last minute where everybody's safe and there's a happy ending.
Absolutely. What do you call that? Kill your darlings, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I believe in that hardcore. Everyone has to have a bad ending.
And it hurts my feelings.
It should. It really should.
It really should because what was the line from Clerks where Dante's like, and that's all life is, a series of down endings?
Isn't it true, though?
It is. And it's just, I guess there's some people who watch movies, like my best friend. He watches things for escapism. So it's like, you know, the more outlandish, and even if it has a happy ending, you know, it's like, okay, this thing clearly can't exist in real life, but, you know, it's a nice little escape. You know, unfortunately, me,
right.
I look at my DVD collection, Like, my movies are depressing. Some people, like, they have all the Bill Murray stuff from, like, you know, Stripes and Ghostbusters and Scrooge. Mine, it's all, like, Lost in Translation and, like, Broken Flowers. It was just like...
No, because people can connect to other humans when there is a travesty. Or tragedy, right?
No, I think travesty also works in this case.
Travesty, too? Yeah, you know, I'm not good with words. I just draw, you know? No.
Yeah, like, there's so many other movies. Like, I will say the one thing I got hooked on for a long time was Korean soap operas.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what channel it was, but we had cable at one point. Or it wasn't even cable. It was, like, a PBS-type station, I guess, that also would just simulcast, like, Korean broadcasting. So, like, on, like, weeknights, my sister and I would sit there and just watch Korean soaps. And I'm like, you know what? I never want to watch Young and the Restless ever again.
Korean soap operas are amazing.
They're almost as good as, like, the telenovelas, like, on Univision, where it's not enough that, you know, you have, like, this love triangle. Like, there's fights, there's helicopter chases, like, there's special effects. And, like, I feel like at one point there was also a lightsaber duel. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I haven't seen that one.
I think I might have been making that up.
Maybe I should.
But the point is, like, there's very little that they won't do in order to tell a story. And I guess as someone who loves a medium like comic books, where comics are, you know, they don't always have to necessarily adhere to general storytelling. I mean, as long as the story is compelling, and it shouldn't necessarily restrict you by, it's like, okay, it has to have this type of ending, it has to have this type of thing, so why not then just go the extra mile and just step a little out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right, no one is forced to conform to a certain way in comics, and that's the beauty of comics. I see comics as, like, a medium like movies or a book, you know?
Right.
You can really fall deep into it, and it can be very serious, but it's true. I feel like I can connect more with the stories that actually have really sad endings.
Which I now...
I say in a very serious tone.
But now that I'm wondering, because I know when we met you at the Eternal Con, you had just released prints of a book you're working on, Hysterics, right?
Yeah.
So now, of course, knowing what I know, and I'm like, okay, how depressing is this ending going to be?
Well...
Actually, we probably should, before we even get into that, though. I'm sorry, like, I probably should do a better job of telling my listeners. Okay, so what is Hysterics about?
Hysterics is a comic about bad people. It's just your anti-hero story, just with females.
Awesome. So how bad are we talking? Are we talking, like, warriors type, you know, street gangs? Or are we talking, like, international crime bosses?
See, I haven't talked about this comic in a while, so now I'm just, like, trying to gather my thoughts. I'm so professional. It's about a gang of women who just don't want to work for other people anymore.
Okay.
And who decide to do it on their own. But just like any anti-hero story, instead of going the good route, you know, and doing hard work and, you know, making life better, they decide to stick with what they know, being bad people. So they become this group. They're known as the Jackals, and they have the same costumes on to kind of indicate that they are one. It's three girls, but no one knows who they are, so they have a secret identity. Nobody even knows they're women. So I kind of wanted to give them this mysterious quality to them. Also, their masks are kind of scary to give them a non-gendered bias, you know what I mean?
So it's kind of like very, like, I guess, kind of anarchistic, sort of an anything goes vibe, you would say.
Right. So they are doing, you know, typical bad guy things like robbing, stealing, but they also have a very outlandish quality to them. So they thrive on the publicity that they get, and they want to make a big name for themselves. It's kind of like a small company going big, you know?
It's like we're diversifying, so we're just going to be like these awful people and then just get notoriety for it.
Right. And I'm trying to, you know, because I love anti-hero stories in general.
They are some of my favorites, I will agree.
Right. So the beauty of it is that you are actually rooting for the bad guys. You want them to do good, and you want them to keep doing good as bad people, right? So I was like, you know, I really enjoy those things, but how come I can never relate to them because they're not women? If that makes any sense at all. It's a lot of the guys dominating that kind of subject matter.
Right, because I had imagined there's plenty of stories of anti-heroes, and let's be honest, a lot of them, and this is going to sound so bad, but you know, a lot of them portrayed in media is usually white males as anti-heroes. Mm-hmm. So you rarely see too many times of, let's say, women or people of color doing that very same thing, because I feel like in a way, doing that, I don't think they are put under that same lens. There aren't too many. Shoot, that's right. Because now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, you have, you know, your rogues, like, let's say, Batman. You have your Harley Quinn types. But yeah, I guess that is something I'd never realized. There really is a dearth of, like, female anti-heroes.
Yeah, and I'm trying to focus on how I see people. You know, I mean, I'm not a perfect empath, you know, like, where I can, like, gauge how people are. I'm not, you know, but I feel like I would like to create my own world where how I see women as, or how the potential of, you know, what women can be. And they're not just bound by certain tropes like, oh, what is your horrible backstory? Oh, I lost a baby or something. You know, like, I can't relate to that. So, you know, like, I don't think that's like an interesting enough, you know, bad backstory. Like Batman, for instance, like you were saying, you know, he lost his family, right?
Right.
So he becomes Batman. Well, these women, their bad histories have to do with their, well, bad guy choices, you know? Like, they were always criminals. So I wanted them to be relatable and real and not be, you know, like, bound by these very typical ideals.
Right, because a lot of times you're right, because in a lot of stories, you're like, okay, a character becomes bad, like I said, because they're, you know, they either lost a child or went through, like, a bad relationship, so... Is it really that unbelievable to just have a story like, well, no, these people are just this because they enjoy it.
Right. Like, some people are just bad people.
Right. Right. And there's something very liberating about that. It's the fact that sometimes things don't always have to have these sort of complicated reasonings for why they are. They just are.
Right. Right. Actually, for one of the characters, I created a backstory about how she began her, you know, criminal background. And she was just exposed to it. You know, like a lot of bad guys in real life, they're just exposed to it because it was their, you know, neighborhoods or their family, right?
Right.
And so they're like, this is all they know. And instead of being a good person, why not just be better at what you know, right?
And you can't, and, you know, as someone who grew up being taught that whatever you do in life, whether you're going to be the best person in the world or the worst person in the world, at least do it to the best of your ability, you know?
Absolutely. You know, A for effort.
Exactly. Because you know what? It makes all the, because you never want to half step in anything that you do. So I'm like, shoot, if you're going to go out of your way to, I don't know, be a criminal, well, you might as well be an efficient one.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's what my parents meant necessarily, but.
Right. That's how you're going to take it, you know?
So thanks, Dad, as I go and rob this bank.
Yeah, right. No, but like every bad, you know, like every anti-hero story, it's always going to be a bad ending, right? Bad people can't get away with what they do.
But can they? Why not?
I feel like, right, but it's not realistic if they did. You know what I mean? They had it coming, you know? So it's like, how interesting can I make it to that point of their demise?
Oh, see? Oh, that's great, because I'm thinking to myself, wow, you actually just hit me with that for a second. Because now this goes, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, the twist is going to be that they're just going to keep on doing this. Like, there is no down ending to this, but, I mean, you've already teased the fact that, okay, it's not going to end well, but now I got to figure out how. Oh, you're good at this.
Well, thank you. I think I am. I'm not too sure yet, though.
Well, look, I mean, I read your other, the book you worked on, Fight Like a Girl. So, I mean, I know the art's going to be amazing.
Oh, thank you. Fight Like a Girl has been it's been a kind of an old project. So I think I've definitely grew style-wise.
All right. So, but again, then this is the first book that you've also written, correct?
Yes, all by myself.
So at this point, when approaching the story, was it just a matter of, you know, you just had this story that was brewing for a very long time? Or was it just something that you just decided one day, you know what, why don't I just make my own story?
I've always wanted to make my own story, you know. It's definitely harder, but I've had the idea brewing for a while, and it just took me years to actually put it down on paper. You know, you're just like on the subway and you're like, oh yeah, this character can be like this. And then like the next day you're just like eating lunch and you're just like, okay, well, maybe this could happen to that character. So it was a lot of that. And then I finally decided, you know what? I'll just do it. Why not? You know,
it's like your head is literally like, hello, Sue. Why don't you just write all this down? Like, do something with this.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Does anybody else have that thing where just writers, where when you're coming up with a story or a concept, you have to almost yell at yourself to just get it done?
I know. It's easier if you, you know, didn't have like juggling jobs and all that, right? But, you know, sometimes it's good to just like just push yourself and just do it. Because then, I mean, you're not going to fall in love with the first draft anyways. So you just have to keep writing it and rewriting it. I mean, I wrote this so much, so many times. I was like, I was getting dizzy.
It's like, well, you weren't trying to do each draft in one sitting, were you?
No. I would have been dead then.
She's like, after my 30th margarita, I finally came to.
Yeah, right? My third unsalted margarita.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Unsalted.
Unsalted, please.
Like, you were just so far gone at this point. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to put salt on this. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, right? I was just like, I'm numb anyways. What else is salt going to do?
It's like, after coming to Hysterics was born. So, are you self-publishing this one, or is this going through, like, another house?
At the moment, it's just by myself. Actually, for New York Comic Con, I have a limited edition black and white version.
Oh.
Yeah, and then afterwards, I'm going to color it, and then I'm going to try to put it out digitally for, like, the same price or even less. Because, you know, for whoever already has the issues, they've already read it. Now you just get, like, a color bonus. And then see what I can do to actually print the colored version, and then just keep going from there.
I really can't wait for that. That sounds really exciting. And I've been trying to steal Eileen's prints for it because I know we bought one at each other cons. Like, can I have that? She's like, no. Like, and I'm like, please. So I'm just like,
well, you know, I wish you could have come to the show. Then I would have said, you know, I'll definitely give you a free one.
Huzzah! I'm like, well, at least one of us will hopefully be there.
Yeah, I'll reserve some copies for you
Sweet.
Guys.
So. Anything else you're working on? Any other pet projects? Or right now, like, you're pretty much just, like, embroiled in Hysterics? Wow, that sounded mean.
No! I'm a loser. No. I have nothing. No, I have a few projects that I can't talk about yet. I'm working on a few pitches. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. I mean, I'm really confident about it because I'm not the one writing it. But I do believe in the writing, and I think it's going to be good. But I have a few stuff lined up. Then I actually have another idea of another comic that I want to do in between Hysterics and other stuff and a day job, you know?
Day job? What is this day job you speak of?
Yeah, right? You know, the thing that pays bills.
Oh, well. We don't need those. Are you kidding me? Like, we're in the industry. Like, you know, it's just...
yeah. It's good to daydream, right? you know, actually, I was watching Black Mass.
Everybody's been talking about this. I need to get on this train.
Don't.
No.
You don't need to. I'm a really harsh critic, by the way. I just want everyone to know. I don't know if you should take my criticism seriously,
okay.
But I am a very harsh critic. I didn't like Black Mass at all. Like, in fact, it was so long and drawn out. I just started daydreaming about a comic idea because I was like, okay, you know, I started questioning a lot of things on Black Mass. And then I started thinking about, you know, that show Narcos.
Yeah, that's another one that's on my queue.
That's good. I cannot wait for the second
Everybody's
season.
Been talking about this, and I feel like no one's talked about a show this much since, like, I would say maybe Daredevil, like, the first season of Orange is the New Black. And it's like, you know, this many people are saying something, there's a quite possibility they may be right.
It's so good. Although, I gotta say, I don't know if anyone else has been saying it, but there's a lot of intense real-life gore imagery. So if you're not really, you know, too okay with that, tread carefully.
Oh, see, I was going to be like, gore, now I gotta watch this, and that just makes me sound like a horrible human being.
No, it's fine. If you have an iron stomach, I guess, you know? But there is real imagery of gore. Just want everyone who hasn't watched it to know.
Okay. Thanks for the disclaimer, because I would have been like, kids, watch Narcos.
Yeah! No, and it's a lot of sexy scenes, too. No, that's
not... Oh, see, those are 200... See, again, you sold me on this.
Oh, yeah. You know, actually... I'm kind of, like, a prude. Like, I don't enjoy sex and violence in a sitting. Like, something about it just, like, I don't particularly enjoy, but Narcos is so good, it kind of just like, okay, it kind of works, I guess, you know?
Well, I mean, everything in context. I mean, there are some movies where it might as well just be, okay, after this really, you know, rough, hardcore sex scene, you know, someone gets, like, their head blown off. I'm like, no, not, like, not for me. Fair. Like, there has to be some sort of context to it, and it's just...
You know, I don't think there really was in Narcos.
Oh, man. I'm trying to throw him a bone, and it just turns out, nope, it's exactly what you think it is.
But it's so good. I'm a hypocrite. No, okay, so I was watching Black Mass, and it really disappointed me. And I was like, wow, this is taking too long to end. And then so I was thinking about Narcos, because I know you didn't see Black Mass, but there's like a scene with a wife, you know. And then I started thinking about Narcos and their wives. And then I was like, you know, these, like, bad guys always have, I don't know, English. Anyways, have, like, a backbone, which is usually, like, their wife or their mother or some kind of female counterpart, right?
Right.
But they never make a story about that. You know what I mean? Like, you only see them through their eyes, or like, yeah, you can tell in Narcos those women are very strong characters. And that's what I also really enjoy about Narcos, is that these women are, like, serious. You know, they might be even worse than the bad guys.
Okay, so they're not necessarily, like, that forced moral compass where, like, every scene they're in, it's like they're falling over. It's like, please give up this life. And I'm like, nope.
yeah, right. So... I really like that. And then I was like, you know, I think I'm going to make a story about the women, you know, about a woman in this kind of life. And I started thinking about, you know, how, like, who am I going to make it about? How am I going to make it about? I think I'm going to make it about Korean gangsters, because you don't really get to read anything about Korean gangsters.
I know
all.
It's cliche, but shut up and take my money.
No, but it's true. I love gangster movies.
Yes.
Like, I love gangster movies, but I love Korean gangster movies even more, because it is so relatable. It's just like, kind of like, the men are ugly, but they're super charming, you know. It has this, like, really gaudy tone to it, but it's, like, so dramatic. Yeah, and, like, the way they talk is disgusting. You know, it's, like, so good to me. Like, I really enjoy it.
They almost make organized crime look cool.
Yeah, but it's super hyper-violent, you know?
Well, I mean, again, that goes without saying. I mean, usually in the case of... Like, to tell you the truth, as a kid, we grew up watching, like, a lot of classic movies, you know, like your gangster movies, but not, like, a lot of Cagney and stuff like that. And, you know, those were cool. I've always enjoyed those, like, more so than they probably should have. But then growing up, then you watch, like, a lot of, you know, Far East action movies, like, especially from, like, either Korea or Japan. Yeah. And then, like, you watch those crime movies, and you're like, James Cagney's a punk compared to these guys.
Exactly. There's actually a few really good Korean movies that actually talk about females in that industry, I guess. There's a movie called My Gangster Wife. I think it's the American title.
I'm writing it down as you say this.
Google it right now.
Okay.
It's like a comedy about a woman. Actually, there's like a sequel, you know, like three-part sequel. It's not as good as the original.
A few things are.
It's about a woman who is like this secret huge crime lord, you know, of a gang, and she's like the boss, and she has like this big tattoo in her back, but she like wants to be this loving housewife to her husband, and he has no idea what she does.
Really?
Yeah, so it's funny, you know. But she is the gangster boss, you know, like, so I really enjoyed that. Like, my mom and I watched it when I was a kid, and we've loved it. So there's something, you know, but that's a comedy, you know, like, I want to make a serious version. Also, a strong female, like, villain character, like Sympathy for Lady Vengeance is another one you should watch.
I have watched that one. I think I watched one of them. Was there more than one part to that one, or...
No, it's just another title, Sympathy for...
Because I think I saw one for, I think it was Lady Vengeance. I don't remember if Sympathy was in the title or not.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm bad with names sometimes, and it's funny. Like,
No, that's okay. But yeah, so I was thinking of making a comic with a female lead who is kind of like, what do you call that? The people that's under the wings of, like, a leader, you know? Someone that you take into your arms and groom into this life.
Let's see. I know henchman's a classic one, apprentice, underling.
Like an underling, but, you know, like a romantic underling, because that's usually how it happens, right? So kind of like she starts like that and then takes over and she becomes this, like, threatening, like, entity, you know?
I can dig that, because I will say, though, I don't know if you watched Orange is the New Black at all.
Yeah.
Like, Red was by far, like, one of her favorite characters on that entire show. And especially was that, like, season one where, like, they go to those snippets of her backstory where it's, like, she was, like, the wife of the crime boss and then eventually she just started running the show herself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think she was associating.
Oh, she was associating, yes.
Yeah, yeah, with the Russian gang.
Yeah, and then eventually
she's like, no, don't worry about it. You know, we're going to make money and all that. Yeah, so she's the one who started it, right?
Right, but it was just so very cool how that kind of worked out. And it's, you know what? It's something that you don't see much, and I think it needs to be seen because it's one of those things that I don't think people realize they're missing out certain things until they actually see it for themselves. You know, like that great story that you didn't know you were looking for?
Right.
No, definitely. I'm all about that. So hopefully we hear more about that soon.
Maybe not soon, but I'm going to put it down in pen and paper, you know, just scribble it out first.
Well, as we know, all the best stories come from scribbles. I think Harry Potter even started that way, so.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be as big as Harry Potter, but I do appreciate that. Thank you.
You never know. I mean, who knows? What if, like, the next, like, cultural phenomenon, like, kids and families and, like, churchgoers alike, for some reason, like, this Korean gangster story, it just unites them all. Like, weirder things have happened.
It's the thing that started everything, like, Korean gangster.
Like, I've seen relative, like, housewife types talk about how great Narcos is. So it's like, okay, you know, some of these things just end up translating. You never know.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I just want to make stories, you know, like, good stories. But also, a lot of females don't get represented enough. And if so, they're always, like, a good character. Like, I like strong female women, but... You know, they don't always have to be good people. You can also look up to the bad ones as well, you know?
Yeah, well, I've always grown up with
that
whole thing.
Does that sound weird?
No, because not everybody needs to be a role model, but in a way, you could still maybe take something from the fact that maybe they're not.
Right, like, right, exactly. Even if women were represented, they don't have to be good. So, I don't know.
I guess it's a thing like sort of owning your own destiny. Like, whether your character is going to be good or bad or indifferent, they're in charge of their own destiny and are not necessarily beholden to whether it be another person, especially not another male.
Right.
So, again, I think that carries, and maybe it's not necessarily the same voice of empowerment that you would get, like, with a comic superhero, but it's still... There is something strangely positive that you could take from it. I mean, the message isn't necessarily to go rob banks and kill people, but...
But they can if they want.
Yes, explore your options.
If you're going to do something, you better do it all the way.
It's like, just don't rob and or kill me.
Right, yes. That's guys, don't do that.
A message from Sue and Adrian.
Yes. don't watch Narcos if you don't like dead bodies, and don't rob and kill people.
I mean, the name of the show alone, there's nothing pleasant about the show's title, so it's like, okay. Oh. When you find out that it was like a show about, like, you know, drug kingpins, I'm like, you kind of know what you're getting in for.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's what we talked about a lot today. Just
Yeah, like the worst of the worst.
The worst of the worst.
It's like, so soon, do you do any philanthropy work?
Yeah, right? Well, if I wasn't a mortician, you know?
Oh, man. That's just so weird to me because, like, I don't know. Like, I could consider myself not squeamish. I don't know if I can deal with dead bodies on a regular basis.
That's true. It is literally on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's you have one job.
That's right. You literally have one job.
See, again, but I read too many things.
You get used to it. You get used to it, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I've heard some stories. Okay, so I was listening to a podcast, And one of the hosts practiced medicine and was dealing with dead bodies. And he said when he was in school, what happens is you expel gases when you're dead. And so it sounds like you're moving or you're breathing.
Oh, no. See that?
Yeah.
No.
And he got so scared he vomited.
That sounds about right, but I kid you not, every so often I'll be reading something online or like one of those like weird news stories where like it's somebody's funeral or like they're like in the on a slab and they put them in the freezer and it turns out they're alive and they start kicking at the door. No, that would ruin me.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's different. You know, they're not, that's traumatic, but these, like this, you have to think in a very medical sense. I think you kind of, you disassociate yourself with it.
Okay, I guess you could say that. Yeah, you don't take it home with you or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you do, but, you know.
Well, you don't take the body home with you.
No.
He's like, it's okay if I prep this one at home, you know, I feel like close up early tonight.
Yeah. I think most of them live in the same building. Like, it's right downstairs. So you're sleeping with dead bodies.
Oh, see, I'm imagining someone just obviously just examining this body, like taking out parts while they're watching Narcos, while enjoying a saltless margarita.
They're like, oh, I have to finish this embalming session, but I have to watch the next episode. What is Escobar going to do next? That rascal.
And then, of course, you find out it's the wrong body. Like, the person's well alive when you start.
You're like, oh, man. Oh, God. That's not funny. It's not funny.
No, it's hysterical.
We're bad people.
Well, you know what? For a very long time, I grew up, and I know my sister, she's definitely big on what's the show ID, where it's like a lot of...
Yeah.
It's all, you know, terrible murders and just people behaving badly. And I'm sorry. Like, I know it's based on true events and it's harrowing. But at the same time, there's just strange satisfaction of knowing, okay, nobody I know is going to be on this show. I think it's okay.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I mean, I'm sorry for the loss, right? But
right, but it's making for great television.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't be on TV if it didn't mean something.
Right. It's like there.
It's not my fault.
Look, if my untimely demise entertained somebody's afternoon while they were, like, you know, doing work or something, then, you know, you've done something that most will never do in a lifetime, is make people happy, you know, long after they're dead. So, hey.
Hey, I don't owe anyone anything after I'm dead.
Right.
If I'm dead, I'm dead.
It's like the Sully story. I don't owe anybody anything when I'm dead.
Yeah, right.
Change that to your Twitter bio tonight.
Yeah, right? Oh, God. What has this podcast evolved to?
This is kind of my show has turned into, like...
A lot of dead bodies.
Well, not as much as you would think, then, no.
Oh, all right. I feel special, then. Thanks.
Right, but again, but this is you're worried about the format and being interviewed, but again, this is what it turned into.
Yeah, being interviewed about dead bodies, you know?
But again, well, once you tell somebody that, you know, you're 2 steps from becoming a mortician, it's a great icebreaker.
It is, isn't it? That's what I do. I just go up to strangers. I'm like, hey, you know what I wanted to do?
So completely changing gears for a second, because I know it's like, it's always weird coming off of a talk about dead bodies.
Yeah, but, you know, how do you segue from that?
Though in a worse way, like literally just take the wheel and just like completely just rip it in the other direction. But
so let's talk about life.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. Well, okay, let's talk about your life a little bit. Do you remember the very first comic book you've ever read?
Oh, boy.
Or one of the first, if not the exact.
I grew up reading a lot of manga.
Okay.
Sorry, I was that pause was me thinking.
Oh, no, and the sad part is I took a sip as you said that. I'm like, oh, shit.
This made it even more awkward. Thanks, Adrian.
Damn it. If I spill my beer on my microphone, I'm going to cut the show early.
Oh, God. Please don't. I read a lot of manga as a kid, and I watched a lot of anime, too. God, I don't even remember. I want to say something like, you know, I don't know, like Dragon Ball.
Which is kind of a lot of people's gateway, I guess, by the time I got
it
started.
It is a gateway drug.
I guess started with a lot of Dragon Ball Z, but no, I think Vampire Hunter D was my first one.
Comic-wise?
No, I think anime.
You mean comic-wise?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, anime.
Comic or anime. I guess, you know, as far as... But no, I don't read, and that's the thing, I suck. Like, a lot of the manga that we get as far as in this area, very lacking, because, you know, it's your standard stuff, like, you know, your Bleach or your Fruits Basket, you know, occasionally Inuyasha, but I never, unfortunately, I didn't know too many people, the exception of maybe, like, my former co-host, who was much into it more than I was, and unfortunately, I forgot to write a lot of things down. So there's, like, a lot of really great, like, obscure manga that I probably don't know of, so anything that you would recommend, much like movies, I'm always up for finding out new stuff.
Okay, so I did read a lot of manga, and when I grew up, like when I was a kid, right, I would have to read Korean translated versions of manga, which is extremely hard because I'm not good at reading Korean anymore. So I had to, you know, kind of like struggle a bit, but I did understand what was happening.
Okay.
So I did get to read more than, you know, what the American audience at the time was getting. But I can't remember what they were anymore. And then a little after that, like, you know, when I was like a teenager, like a very young teen, like 12, you know, I know this is bad, but I read a lot of Scanlations, because here's my excuse for that.
Okay.
At the time, it was never published in America, these underground Japanese comics,
yes,
because it just didn't have a market for them. So what people would do is, you know, because they're such good people and the kindness of their heart, they translated it and put it online, but they would also, you know, use a disclaimer like, hey, buy the comic, you know, so that it would actually would be translated in English by a publisher. And it's a culture, and actually I think publishers are responding to that. So they start like picking up very like things I would never see in markets now, you know? So it's good for them. But I used to read a lot of Scanlations and a lot of underground manga. Like, you know, like again, sad stories or horror comics, you know? I used to read a lot of Slice of Life. I don't really particularly remember any of the names because it's all like Japanese names, not translated in English. So I can't even
like the words don't exactly exist at all.
Yeah, you know, it's like in Romanji or whatever. So I'm like, okay, whatever that means.
But you know what though? Don't feel bad though, because while I dabbled a little bit in manga, I know at least with anime it was the same way, because of course you had your shows like, you know, Dragon Ball and stuff like that. But growing up, at least there was, you know, Sci-Fi Channel or like even Cartoon Network. They would show anime. It's usually late on a Saturday, so it's like, okay, they could show a little bit more. So there was a time, like let's say around 2007 until like I would say maybe 2009, 2010. Like I pretty much was just an anime fanatic. But
yeah, I mean, we all were, weren't we?
But the thing was, there was, okay, to buy the DVDs, it's like, it was like $30 for one DVD that had four episodes of a show.
Yeah.
Kind of defeats the purpose. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I'm into this thing, where can I get it? Streaming wasn't that great back then, so I'm like, well, fan subs, there you go.
I know, I mean, you know, bless those people for doing what they did. It was very limited back then.
It really was. And it's funny, like, it's only a couple of years later, but thanks to so many streaming sites and that and are now producing a lot of anime, but like, I'm staring at, like, three external hard drives that I know for a fact are full of anime. And maybe I should have said that on the air, because now, of course, the police are going to, like, seize my property.
Yeah, the NSA are going to get you. You better run.
But I'm sorry, but it's like, I'm sorry, like, America, I love you, but And this is going to sound so, like, anti-American. Someone's going to, like, shut this podcast down, but
yeah, right? They're like, no more. No more episodes for Adrian.
Aw, but it's like, where we like to pretend that we are very much like this. I shouldn't say pretend, but, you know, we like to think that we're this great melting pot. A lot of pop culture, especially foreign pop culture, hell, I mean, we have a hard time getting things from Canada over here. So it's always tough because it's like, I want to know more about this stuff. So like I said, by the time I go out and I want to watch more Korean films, okay, well now it's a little bit easier. I could probably buy them on, like on Amazon or another site.
Or Netflix.
Again, someplace where it's region free or I just pay for streaming is fine. Mm-hmm. But just a few years ago, you really had to kind of be in the know and kind of hunt down things and put almost a lot more work into it than you used to.
That's true. So, like, you know how I told you about the Korean video rental shops?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up like that. So any anime that, you know, the American people didn't get, I had to watch again, translated in, you know, like subtitled in Korean. So I really had to struggle while I was watching these, you know, cartoons. I was exposed to more because I had that. You know, it's a very specific, like, culture, these video rental stores, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense, because it's like, you know, as someone who was into it, as opposed to just sitting down and waiting people to sort of spoon-feed you things, you had to really go out and experience the art for yourself, which, I guess if that was a public service announcement,
Go out and just do it. Right?
Right.
That's what Shia LaBeouf said. Now, he already beat us to it. Never mind.
Oh,
yeah, boy. So, I mean, yeah, I read a lot of, you know, manga through a lot of scanlations, but only because I couldn't read it otherwise. So that's my excuse. But I was influenced by a lot of that storytelling-wise. And then I went to school to learn more about comics, like, you know, all smart people do. Just expend money into comics, you know? And I'm so poor now because I do what I love. And then I, like, try to mimic a lot of, like, these, like, slice-of-life manga styles where it's very slow-paced, you know? And just, like, a lot of, like, foreign movies, it's more emotion than anything. And then a lot of the time, and then, you know, I got a lot of flack for that because apparently it just didn't make sense visually. And it, you know, I was very young and I was like crap back then. So, I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm learning still now. But I took a lot of that into influence. And I feel like I can do it better this time, you know, because I grew up and I have a little bit more experience.
Right.
So I still use it as, you know, like reference or influence.
Very cool. But again, it's art of any kind. I mean, you get the few who do, they're known for this particular style, they never change, but damn, that's not fun. But I always enjoy watching an artist grow, constantly challenging themselves and doing new things. So, again, ahead of the curve compared to a lot of others.
Oh, no, definitely not. There's definitely a lot of, you know, people who know what they were doing as soon as they came out of the womb, you know? I am just like a speck. But thank you, I do appreciate it.
So this has been an absolute blast. Like, I'm so glad we finally got a chance to talk. And
yeah, same here.
And hopefully I didn't completely just, like, wink you out.
No. I mean, I'm the one who brought up the dead bodies, you know?
No, but I mean, I had shows where I did a rundown of, like, the Power Rangers who were, like, committed a murder. So don't worry about it.
Oh, really? I feel like that's a Japanese version, no?
I don't know. It was weird because one of the guys on one of the Power Rangers series, you find out, like, there was some weird case where he took somebody out with a sword on a boat. It was just very odd.
Like, decapitated him or something.
Yeah, like, it was oh. Just like, oh, that's a thing.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, Asian movies or shows, they get to do whatever they want.
Yeah, you don't get that much in American movies. And if it is, it's usually played up to a point where it's almost comical.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you gotta care about the kids' feelings.
Well, the
know,
kids shouldn't be watching it anyway. Well, I mean, unless they're into that sort of thing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, right? Humor is violence.
The views expressed by Adrian and Sue do not reflect those. Yeah,
these are all of my own.
No, that's awesome. But again, thank you so much for hanging out. And hopefully,
thank you. This is so much fun.
This has been an absolute blast. And hopefully we'll get to see you at New York Comic Con. I'm definitely trying to make that happen.
Or, you know, other shows.
Well, I was...
I plan on...
Well, I don't know if you have as well. I was going to say before you go, I'm always about shameless promotion, so always feel free. Anything you want to plug, anyone, you know, people want to find you online, let the good people know where they can, I guess, engage with you. And also talk about dead bodies and Korean gangsters.
You got questions about dead bodies? I know, very limited. You can follow me on Twitter. That would be nice. Sue D. Lee, because Sue Lee was just taken. D is my middle name. You can follow me on Twitter. You could go on my website, check my stuff out, SueLeeDraws.com. I'm going to be at New York Comic Con this October, table CC9, and I really wish you did come. I know it's not your fault, though.
No, well, I mean, there's ways around it, but well.
Well, we'll see, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I'm having a few projects out. Hysterics is one of them. if anything, please keep in contact.
Oh, absolutely. Well, again, I stalk people online all day, so
absolutely.
You'll definitely hear from us, and I guess that'll do it for, that's just, well, no, we'll see you now, damn it. Why would I end on that? It's like, oh, I stalk everybody online. Oh, good night, everybody. Like, no.
Goodbye. Everybody be careful.
All right. Well, now that I've completely just made myself look like another terrible person, that'll do it for Adrian Has Issues, and we will see you next issue. Hey guys, Adrian here. I really hope you enjoyed that episode of Adrian Has Issues. I most certainly did. But before we go, there's a couple of things I want to let you know. First off, you can catch every episode at my main website, adrianhasissues.com. You can download and stream all the episodes there. Plus, there's also a nifty section full of guest appearances. So not only do you get to hear my voice on my own show, but I also hop in on some other podcasts I enjoy, like Let's Chat with Revlon Friends, BS Excluded, Comical Podcast, The Secret Identity Podcast, and many more. Also, you can check me out on Twitter, at Adrian Has Issues, Facebook.com/AdrianHasIssues. I'm on Instagram at Adrian Has Issues Pod. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at adrianhasissues@gmail.com. Oh, and before we go, I just want to let you know that this podcast is now a member of the Tangent Bound Podcast Network. My show is also joined by many other great shows like Moving the Needle, Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks, Green Up, and many more. So check me out there too. And one last thing, please, if you also have Stitcher and iTunes, this show is available there. Please feel free to leave a 5-star review and a rating. The more ratings and reviews I get, the better opportunities I have for other people to check out the show. So share and share alike, and thanks for your constant support. I couldn't do this without you. And well, that'll do it for this episode. So see you later, guys.